Are you tired of corporate-controlled media? Then it's time to subscribe to a new way of gaining access to independent and timely news coverage. Introducing the Final Call Digital Edition. The Final Call Digital Edition is on the cutting edge of print news delivery. The Final Call Digital Edition carries in-depth reporting and thought-provoking analysis of both national and international news. Get out of the old and get into the new. Subscribe to Final Call Digital Edition at digital.finalcall.com.
The all-new Final Call Radio. Streaming messages and music from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Worldwide. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. Download the Final Call Radio app and take us everywhere. On your phone. On your computer. On your tablet. On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You can also log on to finalcall.com and click the Listen Live button. Or finalcallradio.com. Final Call, Final Call Radio. The official voice of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam.
And in all of her trouble, she don't never be so busy killing people outside that she won't kill you inside.
That's right. Right.
She killed the Negro. This is her talk. She kill you with a smile. She go off laughing. How she killed a Negro down the street.
That's right.
Shot him to death. My friend, we have a savior.
Yes, sir.
Today to save us from this, he have choose me and I have choose him.
Yes, sir. Right.
I say you do like me. He has choose you to sit in heaven. I say you choose him to be your God. There's none that can harm you if he's with you. None.
As-salamu alaykum. I am your brother, Donnell Muhammad, a student in the ministry class under the divine guidance of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, the one God to whom all praise is due, we thank this one God for his many blessings and mercy. And the greatest of God's mercy is that he intervenes in the affairs of humanity when humanity has strayed from the right path. We thank this one God for Musa and or Moses and the Torah. We thank this one God for Isa and or Jesus and the gospel. We thank this one God for Muhammad and the revelation of the Holy Quran. However, I would be remiss in my duty as a black man in America if I did not thank this same one true God for not sending us a prophet, not sending us a messenger, but he gave the greatest demonstration of love ever bestowed upon the human family. God did not send someone. He came himself. He didn't just say he loved us. He actually came in person, found one worthy among us in the first instance, in the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, his Christ, his Messiah, now Mahdi. And we thank the two of them for not leaving us comfortless, but giving us a leader, a teacher, a brother, and a true friend, their Messiah, our Jesus, in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Welcome once again to guests, friends, and family to the program entitled My Walk with Jesus as a Muslim. We have a real treat for you this evening. We have with us two of the most important figures in the history of Black people, and that is the Black woman. We have with us two sisters, two women, one of which is an auditor, certified, and rising, and dealing with the repair of the Black family. She has spoken to thousands. She has helped thousands individually and collectively in terms of repairing their life after a lifetime of trauma. You have to remember that there was no repair and so-called emancipation proclamation did not resolve a thing. We never were repaired. Well, here is a Black woman like the Black women did during slavery and thereafter. They were always there for us. They were always there to nurture us. And here is one that was blessed to receive not only the revelation of Allah to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but she took on the technology that we extracted from Scientology called auditing, and she is now a person that is clear. I want to present to you, to present to some, and introduce to others, Sister Nahira Muhammad.
Thank you so very much. I am truly excited and very honored and very humbled to be here with you, Brother Student Minister Donnell. Thank you for considering me. Thank you for considering what I represent as far as the repair of the Black family. As a student follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I am happy to be on your platform today.
Thank you. My sister, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what you are involved in right now?
Absolutely. So,
and let me, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick, but Student Minister Donnell, can you log off while she's doing that and log back on? Your image is just a little pixelated, and I think if
okay,
you log back
sure,
in, we can clear
sure.
that up.
I'll do
All
that.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sister Nahira, go right ahead.
Absolutely. So again, my name is Sister Nahira Muhammad. I joined the nation in 2000 and became a devout follower of the Honorable Student and follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, student follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And throughout my sojourn in the Nation of Islam, I have been blessed and honored to serve as a student MGT captain, for over 20 years, and now I've graduated to become a student MGT captain emeritus. I've also been blessed to find my own foundation, the repair of the Black family. I am a transformational life coach and certified speaker, as well as a retreat leader. And first and foremost, outside of all of that, I am my husband's wife of 23 years. I'm very happily married. I have 5 beautiful children and 8 grandchildren. I specialize in eradicating generational traumas, dramas, limiting beliefs, and self-sabotaging behavior patterns. My love for the Black man and woman runs deep. Because of, you know, what I've had to go through, you know, in order to just get on the path of righteousness. I know that God has come for us and that he has not forsaken us. And through the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have found my purpose in life. And my purpose is to help people come from darkness unto light. And so with that being said, I'm just here as your sister to help serve humanity.
I guess what I'll do is I'll go ahead and hold it down until student minister comes back on. So we're here talking about, of course, a very serious subject, and that is the repair of the Black family. And so I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things that your organization, what are some of the things that we can get from your organization to help us repair the Black family?
Oh, absolutely. So, well, I just want to lay a base for how the Repair of the Black Family came into existence. You know, it is an extension, an avenue, a road out to be able to help our people in the community as an extension of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we pride ourselves off of providing the culture of knowledge of self, knowledge of God, the knowledge of the enemy, the inner me, right? And the time and what must be done. As a transformational life coach, I focus in on trauma. I focus in on mindset, right? I focus in on getting people to take responsibility, which is respond with ability to change conditions in life. You know, it's not about what happened to you. It's happening what has happened for you. And so with that being said, our focus is on the individual, because that's how you are going to help the family get yourself right. And in addition to that, so with the coaching, individual coaching, we have family coaching. My husband and I provide marriage counseling or marriage coaching. We also do retreat leadings, right? We do group coaching. Yeah, so that's basically what you have. And we also help not just spiritually, mentally, emotionally, but we help physically. We also provide products. So we have products to actually help to deal with the body as well, to get us back holistically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so, you know, we're dealing with, you know, the Black family is really rocking and rolling, you know, from just being under this, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan calls, the architecture of white supremacy. In your view of the Black family, what are some of the things that we need to embrace to make us strong again? And and if you can also speak on and help the people understand how important it is for that, if you will, traditional Black family structure.
Well, first and foremost, you know, one of my stable datums that I use when I'm dealing with my clients is we got to go back in order to be in present time. And I love to educate people. Of course, we can go even further back, but let's just deal with the destruction of the family, the divide and conquer as it relates to the systematic effect of Willie Lynch. The installing of a methodology to help to break up the family. And as we go through and we look at mindsets, you know, the mistrust, the distrust, the jealousy, the envy, the light skin versus the dark skin versus age versus plantation. As we look at all of these different things, now we can begin to see that this system, this methodology, it truly has perpetuated itself for up to 300 years, up to 1,000 years, looking at the psychological frozen effect of the female. When we begin to dissect this and we get to look at, these are some of our limiting beliefs. This is what is keeping the family divided. Now we can get to the root cause in present time to see how we can literally extract our minds from that system and go back up into the original mind of God. You know, I was just dealing with one of my coaching clients, and I helped her to see that, you know what, there's a group agreement that we are 3/5 of a slave right now. And we have to be willing, Brother Student Minister Darnell, to break the agreements with hell.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, we got to get back into our rightful role as women. There's a structure in the Bible, right? There's God, Christ, man, woman. And when we get back into the decency and the order of things, then we begin to repair the Black family. Allah does everything in decency and in order. But
yes, Satan, ma'am,
is depending on our ignorance.
Right.
To keep us out of order. So in order to change the condition of the Black family, we must install the order of Allah God daily. That has to be a constant reminder.
That is a fact.
We're not man's woman, right? We are God's woman. So
the sacredness
of the female must be taught constantly.
Yes, ma'am.
Because the family, the woman is the cornerstone of the family, the household. Everything is going to be based around the emotional intelligence, spiritual intelligence, mental intelligence of the woman. The man is the backbone. He's the maintainer. You understand? He has to have his direct connection with God, with Allah.
That's right.
Satan knows this. He is manipulating constantly. And we didn't just get like this. We can go all the way back to the first family, Adam and Eve. You know, we can go all the way back. But now we are in the dispensation of time where God is present.
That's right.
We have a duty and a responsibility to be accountable to helping to bring back the order of Almighty God Allah here on the planet Earth. We are responsible for establishing the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you, Sister Naira. Brother Stephen, is there anyone in the chat that would like to ask our sister a question on some of the things she's already said? Or shall
we
continue to elaborate until it's such time that someone has a question for her?
We have a question.
Go right ahead.
From Mike Jones. And they're starting off kind of heavy. It says, the process of getting my wife to become a MGT and GCC member. I'm not sure if that's a statement or if it's a question, but if you would like to
talk about it.
That one.
Well,
answer it as a question and a statement.
Well, let me just say this. You know, the woman, our nature is to follow the man. And if the man is being dutiful and he is a member of the Nation of Islam, we will follow the God in him. That's the first thing. Be the example, right? Next, there's a way to join the Nation of Islam. There's a way or a process to enter into. And I would definitely say find the nearest mosque or study group and get her connected with a sisterhood. It's something about women with women. When women get amongst women, we find ourselves. And so if you want her to be in a divine class of Almighty God Allah, under the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, get her connected to the sisterhood.
Beautiful answer. Anyone else, Brother Stephen?
And thank you for the question.
We do have, I think it's another question in the chat. I'll put it up on the screen. It says, what I'm seeing in the Black community is a move towards the promotion of polygamy in our community. How do we address that when many use the lives of the prophets as the base for this move?
Well, you know, I have to go with what my teacher talks about. A strong family builds a strong nation. It's not time for that, right? You got to come under a structure in present day time that's going to give us the guidance and instruction of what Allah requires and deems for the Black man and woman of today's time. In the Holy Quran, it says, one is better for you if you but know. So the enemy will use the word of God to promote his agenda, you know. But right now, thank Allah, we have the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There's no direction for us at this time for that. So I would say, again, lean into the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to get the guidance of what is the time and what must be done.
Thank you, Sister Naira. I would only add to your comment, which is so succinct and so beautiful, and that is this. Brothers and sisters, we are still have not been repaired from our slavery experience.
Come on.
As Sister Naira explained earlier, we have to go back to come forward because no one has taken the time to repair us until the coming of Master Farg Muhammad and the raising of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We don't know what marriage is. Mm. We don't know what family is because that was destroyed by our slave masters. So to talk about polygamy, more than one wife, when we have a group of young men in this particular generation that have baby mama drama, they have babies with this sister on the west side, the east side, the north side, the south side, and have absolutely no sense of responsibility to those children. So you have broken families that Sister Naira is working to repair because we are functioning out of trauma that has never been repaired. So polygamy is not even a discussion for us. And as she quoted out of the Holy Quran, one wife is better for you if you but knew. So we don't need to be talking about extra wives when we can't even take care of the one wife that we have with us now. And even in the polygamous state, the husband has to still get the permission of his first wife. And I don't know of any black woman in America, maybe somewhere else, but I don't know no black woman in America going along with that, with none of us. So let's not even consider polygamy, my brother. Let's be first loyal to one wife. Take care of one wife. Be godly and put forward for one wife. And then one day when the time is right, and you will know because Allah will let you know through his servant, then we can talk about polygamy. But right now, brother, that should not even be a thought on our minds when we ain't even take care of the wives or women we with right now. Thank you, Sister Naira, for that succinct answer. I just wanted to add my 2 cents.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Any more questions for Sister Naira?
No, we'll go ahead and bring on Dr. Swift. And she, we want to bring her on and interject her into this conversation because there's a beautiful event that I'll allow her to explain that's coming up in October. And then we'll all, just have a round table discussion. Let me bring her on.
Beautiful.
All right. Greetings, Dr. Swift.
Oh, I was on mute.
There you go. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and the event that you have coming up, and then we'll get more into the conversation.
Yes, yes, sir. Thank you. Assalamualaikum to the
Waalaikum salam.
Waalaikum salam.
Family. Just firstly, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I just want to open up in His name. And I thank you, Brother Stephen, for inviting me to this conversation, and Minister Donnell for hosting it. And I'm glad that I came in the order that I'm came because I very much enjoyed Sister Naira and what you have shared so far, and you increased my spirit. If you can't tell, I'm a little under the weather and a little froggy, so please forgive how I'm sounding right now. But a little bit about me, I guess on a personal level, I came into the nation I registered in 1990 and in New Jersey at Muhammad's Mosque number 25. And it's been a love affair from then to now. We've had some rough patches in the road, but I mean, this is my home, right? It's where I belong, it's who I am. I don't see an identity outside of it. And so I'm thankful for that. And so from 1990, I have been in Muhammad's Mosque number 4. I moved to Maryland at one point, and also number 7, because I was living in New York as well. And so I've had my opportunity to kind of come around and hold different roles in the nation as well. So that's kind of my, I guess, my nation history. There's a lot more that I can say there, but professionally, I am currently, I'm a psychologist. I am in the field of mental health and have over what nearly 30 years of experience with that as well. And so I guess the beautiful thing that's happening right now in my life is that those roles are emerging, that my work, my understanding, my orientation to life as a believer in the Nation of Islam and my professional work is actually merging. And so I am, you know, glad. I'm just, it when you get to that point, what you do, what you get paid for no longer is work. It's what I call is heart work. So yes, that's ma'am. Kind of where yes, I'm ma'am. At. Where they're
when you do like, what you love, you never work a day in your life.
That's it. Right.
That's it. So that's the long and short.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Oh, and he asked me to,
about the upcoming event.
Yeah. So, okay, there was a lapse in communication here because the event actually happened yesterday.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. The event. It was
so how was it? How, tell us about it. How was it?
Certainly. It was a virtual event. Well, one thing that I neglected to mention in my professional history is that, yeah, so that was just yesterday. I am the Eastern Regional Representative of the Association of Black Psychologists. Okay. So I, in that role, in that capacity, I held our first regional event, our regional conference that we have. We entitled it Black Love, Marriage as the Cornerstone of Community. And on that panel, well, we had a few things. We had some breakout sessions, but we also had a panel discussion that was, it was moderated by Sister Nisa Muhammad. You see there at the top on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, Sister Dr. Nisa Muhammad Islam. She moderated the panel. And our local minister here at Muhammad Mosque number 25, Minister Abdul Haq Muhammad, was also on the panel, bringing fire every step of the way. And then we had also Dr. Kevin Washington, who was recently highlighted in the Final Call newspaper as in dealing with an article that was dealing with education. And we also had Dr. Ayo Maria Gooden, who was a part inspiration for the conference because of the work that she does in regard to bringing Black people together, Black men and Black women together to form love relationships. She's yes, actually ma'am. Doing that work. And so that was a part inspiration, but the key inspiration was the word that were the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan that I heard back, I believe it was 2006, when he talked. Matter of fact, I think Sister Naira referenced it. He did a, I have it written down because I didn't want to forget, our commitment to strong marriages secure our nation. It was a lecture that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did, wherein he made the statement, there is no success in nation building without the building of family.
That's right.
And there's no success in building family without respect and honor for the institution of marriage. And then he continued, he said, we could talk about many things that are important in life, but nothing is more important or sacred than family and the cornerstone of family, which is marriage. Now, when I heard that, that those words never left me. They made an indelible impression on my mind. And when I, you know, understood the work that Sister Ayo was doing with regard to bringing Black couples together, I wanted to elevate it. And I wanted to elevate it in the spirit of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in us understanding marriage. We enter into marriage for our own personal reasons. You know, I like him. I like her. She's cute. He got money. We have all these reasons why
we're right.
We don't understand the role that marriage has in the scheme of the larger community.
Right.
And so that was the deeper point that I wanted us to understand, that building marriage builds community. They go hand in hand.
Right.
So that's not to belabor the point, but that was kind of the essential motivation and inspiration for the conference that we did.
Thank you so much. Yes, Brother Stephen, are there any questions for our sister?
No, you know, I just wanted us to keep on rolling with the conversation we got going on right now. Let's roll. I want to ask Sister Naira, you know, when we talk about the auditing, you know, as a people, we're so damaged, as Dr. Swift was saying. What role can auditing play in helping us to, you know, first, I guess, become in love with ourselves, so that we can express that love to our partner?
Absolutely. Well, you somewhat answered the question. You know, in order to love someone else, you have to have a true and truthful love for self. And because we are a broken people and we have the inability to totally confront in this manner, meaning face and be willing to experience those things that no longer serve us. Now, of course, there is the known things, but there are also some unknown things that actually affects the mind. And it's just helpful to have someone to guide you through, to be able to look at things that would clean up the weaker part of ourselves. So as we enter into this sacred relationship, this sacred institution called marriage, we have something to offer. And what is that? Presenting ourselves as whole, right? As whole as we can be, a clean vessel with no emotional traumatic attachments to our past, that I truly can be the wife because I'm true to myself. He truly can be the husband, right? Where there's no deviation from the past experience. Many of us have been through relationships and we carry the baggages of those relationships into the relationships that we're entering, and we're not coming from a healed space. So, you know, auditing helps us to be able to identify those areas that we have yet to be healed in. Remember, it's not just your personal experience in relationships. Many of us have learned behavior patterns, the culture of your family. Mm-hmm. What was your mother and your father's relationship like?
What was your childhood like?
You know, this gives you an opportunity to truly look, confront, and handle, and then, you know, come into a relationship where I know that, listen, I am who I am and I'm a work in progress, but I'm literally doing a spiritual surgery to be that wife or to be that husband and show up in a holistic manner. So auditing, which is therapy, is really good for us in going into a relationship to have that relationship as Allah would have fit for us to be a sacred union.
Yes. Thank you. Beautiful.
And Sister Dr. Swift, you know, if you could jump right in, maybe not, you know, as far as the auditing standpoint, but what can we do to prepare ourselves? Because many of us, we go into relationships and because we don't have our own culture, we're not prepared. We're not prepared. And when we go into these relationships, we don't understand that the woman's nature is different than the man's nature. Her wants are different than the man's wants or needs, you know, and it just becomes a ball of confusion and then it just spins into chaos. What can we do to, you know, to prepare ourselves? And then we do have a few questions that are coming in from the chat.
Yeah. You know, when I was listening to Sister Naira and heard the initial question, my mind went to the trauma. That's an area that I specialize in. And how trauma creates a disconnect, right? It creates a disconnect, not just between you and I, but even on the individual level. We become disconnected from ourselves. We dissociate. We are not present often in our own bodies, right? So there's a disconnect there, but there's also a disconnect on the collective level, right? A disconnect when people are experiencing trauma that we've experienced. And Brother Minister Donnell beautifully went into some of the injury, the history that we have. And so when we experience that trauma, part of that trauma experience has caused us to kind of isolate and be disconnected from one another. So I'm saying that to say that the healing, right, that needs to happen on two levels. And often we only pay attention to one level. We look at the individual, but we also need to pay attention to and elevate our awareness of what's happening on the collective level. Because that I'm going to put it like this. When two people get married, this actually was said in the conference yesterday. When two people get married, a third entity evolves, right? So there's something there that's more than just the two people added together. It's multiplication that happens. But what happens when groups of people actually merge and come together and unify? There's something really powerful that evolves and grows out of that. Sister Naira said earlier, and Brother Minister Donnell reiterated that you have to go back sometimes to come forward in the repair process. And it made me remember how historically, traditionally, we had a value around, it was called Ubuntu. I don't know if we're familiar with that.
Yes.
Ubuntu, right? And the understanding or the meaning behind Ubuntu is the idea that I am because you are, and because you are, I am. That my humanity is tied up in you and your humanity, right? So without you, there is no me. Without me, there is no you. And that's how we operated. That's how we function. And so if I think like that, I'm not going to, you know, disrespect my sister's home or steal from my brother. A lot of the things that we see happening in the community wouldn't be happening because we would see. When we look at one, we're looking at ourselves. When we look at another, like the minister has taught us, when you look at a black man, you're looking at God. Would you kill God? Right. And so I want to get to the point here that Ubuntu, that understanding that there's this meshing between people, that if we can revive that, we can get that back again. That also is a huge part of our healing process that we need in order to repair.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Well, let me go ahead and get right on to this question. Before I get into the question, though, Sister Naira, can you tell us about these fascinating retreats that you talk about that I'm pretty sure I'm invited to? No. Can you talk about these retreats? What is the, just tell us about the retreats and what the purpose of them and what we will get out of these retreats.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for that question. The purpose of the retreat is to take individuals outside of an environment to get them in a space and a place to truly locate themselves without any distractions, where they are fully engaged in a process that's going to facilitate that healing process without any re-stimulating effects on the person. Sometimes you got to go away to just be able to come up into present time. So these retreats that my husband and I have designed is to provide one-on-one and also group life coaching. I try to put them in sacred land, so that now not only are we dealing with the mind, but we're dealing with the spirit. We are able to facilitate the emotional effect that we desire and the physical effect. So it's a retreat, to retreat away from Satan's world, to retreat away from negative thinking, to retreat away from everything that may be a distraction to keep you from not being able to be fully present in your healing process. And so Excellent. You get 7 days and 6 nights up close, personal, transformative life coaching. And then, of course, you have your meals and your excursions, and everything is facilitated towards self. That one can, it challenges you physically. It builds team building. It's relationship building. You know, it focuses so much on getting down to the root cause of limiting beliefs. Right? So just to get a person to get a passport is eradicating limiting beliefs. Just wow. to get them to have the consciousness that I can literally go outside the border when my grandmother never left out of Florida.
Right.
It's a mindset shift just to even get somebody to understand that financially it's safe for me to invest in me, because so much we pour out into other people. We pour out into other processes and programs. But when it comes to us, there's a limit. There's a drawback if there's no party attached to it. Does it make sense? So it's a deep dive into our healing process, you know, to so that we can come up into the identity that not only am I a God, many of us know this, especially with the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad present on the scene. But my question is, are we functioning as gods? And how do you deal with that which disrupt your godhood? On these retreats, as an auditor, as one that's trained to listen and compute, I understand when that reactive mind kicks in and it's no longer the person. Mm-hmm. It's every idea, trauma, consciousness that comes up that tells that person, I can't, I don't, I won't, betrayal, distrust, mistrust, and I help the person safely. Listen to that word, Doc. Safely, right? Kind of like hold them to a space that they can look and then make this. Watch this. Intention and a new powerful decision. Once we can get a person to change their mind about a situation or a circumstances and help them to adopt a new viewpoint, they become empowered.
Now, you talked, you said a word back there, and I wanted to see if you could help the people understand. You said reactive mind. What is that?
The reactive mind is a stimulus responsive mindset, right? It's going to have you it's going to have you to respond in a way that is truly, you don't have any control. It has force and power over you, right? This mind that is made up of traumas, dramas, limiting beliefs. It's an installed mindset. We know that we have been made other than our own self. Into devils. So it's gonna get us to rise above that mind that is the mind of the devil. And that's in the book, Dianetics, on page 64. Mr. Hubbard says, if there was ever a devil, it would be called the reactive mind. Well, as the people of God, we know that there is a devil. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says, in closing the gap, devil is the weaker part of your soul. So getting rid and conquering and facing that reactive mind is getting us to master the weaker part of ourselves, getting down as the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, getting down to the root cause and uproot that weaknesses and like this, cast out the demons.
That's right. Go on, preacher.
Show up as the people of God. Last scripture, and I'm going to close out with this. In the book of James, it says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, as a student of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I've been blessed to understand that that double-mindedness is that analytical mind, God mind, that reactive mind, which is your lower self, devil mind. And so now as a spiritual physician, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called his auditors, I'm able to go in as a doctor and help one to be able to see, no, that's not your God mind speaking, because these demon circuits have force and power over you. Let me help you to do as Study Guide 18 says, identify the devil and rise above emotions into the, not just the thinking of a God, but the beingness of a God. And now we go into self-mastery. And so I hope I answered the question. Oh, yes, you most certainly did. And I thank you.
Thank you. Like they said in the comment, question has been answered. That's right.
There you go.
So here's some questions though from the chat, and it's and a brother is asking. He says, I'll put it up. And the question is, I follow the teachings and I'm a believer. In my city, it's hard to find a good woman with the same faith. I'll go with you, Dr. Swift. What can you do to help the brother out? What advice can you give?
You know, the minister said to us recently, he encouraged us to be patient and let Allah do his work, right? Allah knows this brother and knows this brother's heart. I would want to just encourage the brother to let Allah make the woman that's going to be the woman for him, and he work on himself and position himself to be able to receive that woman and honor her and respect her and protect her every step of the way thereafter.
Thank you. All right. Sister Naira.
I believe my sister has said it all. And if I may just come at it from a perspective of understanding the tone of individuals, which is the frequency, you know, there's nothing really I could say outside of what my sister said. But when you understand scientifically that your vibe attracts your tribe. Mm. And so understanding that tone level, understanding what condition you may in, that's where that self-work comes into play, so that we can now begin to raise our tone level up. I don't know what happened. Am I on or off?
You're on. It's just showing some images.
Okay. Raise our vibrations up high enough to attract your tribe, meaning to attract the wife that you have become, if that makes sense. So just keep showing up and doing the work, and the higher you rise up, you will attract your mate, if that makes sense. The one that's been made for you right now in present time.
Thank you.
So Student Minister Donnell, let me throw that question to you. What advice would you give to the brother for finding
his mate,
for answering that question?
Well, the root of it is what our sisters just shared. The only other thing I would add to this equation is, whenever I advise any couple seeking another mate, there are three things that we do in the Nation of Islam that needs to be brought back to every institution in America, particularly as it relates to Black people. We don't do dating. We do what is called courtship. And whenever you go to court, you bring your evidence. You bring your facts. We don't know what to ask. My sister said earlier, if I meet someone, they're cute. He's handsome. She's this, she's that. That is an emotional response. It has nothing to do with the actual facts about that person and whatever trauma that person has gone through. And there's not a single being on this planet in the dispensation of the rule of Satan that is not traumatized, including Satan himself. Mm. He don't even know what to do with himself.
Mm. Right.
So my advice to any brother or sister, there are three C's to the relationship puzzle. The number one piece is that you have to keep the courtship alive. Yes. Whatever I did when I met her, whatever I did when I met him, when I met my wife, we will be celebrating our 50th anniversary on June the 10th, 2023, inshallah, if we're still here.
Beautiful.
I used to send flowers. She worked for the civil service. I would send her flowers, a singing telegram. And all of her friends would ask, well, what's that about? It's your birthday? Is it Valentine? What's going on? No, I love her. I don't need white men to give me a day.
Right.
To express my love for my wife or vice versa. If I met her and I was cock diesel, had a six pack, and now I'm walking around with a keg, I just let myself go. And my wife was beautiful and long hair and just a fine thing. And all of a sudden, there's something about that piece of paper I signed it now. I got in, so I just let myself go. Continue the courtship above all else. Secondly, compromise, co-promise. Mm. When I was an individual, I left home when I was 16. I became an emancipated juvenile at that time so that the law could not come back on my parents because of the conflict between me and them. He was a Baptist preacher, and he did not want me to be involved in Islam. I've always had my own place, never had to look back. But in my own places, I had a stack of Muhammad Speaks for a coffee table. I had newspapers in my windows for curtains. And hey, that was fine with me. Then I met my wife. Oh my gosh, she wants curtains and carpet. And so I have to compromise. I'm no longer an individual now. Mm. And thank God for a wife, because my goodness, brother.
Right.
And then the last thing is communication.
Yes.
Many times men are not very communicative because we think that's a feminine quality. You should know what I want. You know what I'm saying? Why I gotta say it. So we have to become more communicative. Now let me ask you this. When you were courting the sister, and you was running your rap down, you were very communicative then. So why, after we get married, all of a sudden now, you at a loss for words? You wasn't at a loss for words when you was trying to get with her. Come on now, brother, talk to me.
Right, right.
So those are the three things I think that would help continue the continuum as we work out the Naira points, Sister Monique's point, Dr. Malik's points. But if you're going to do that, it has to be on that line. We have to practice the three C's: courtship, compromise, communication.
So, Dr. Swift, is there anything that you would like to add to that right there on how to keep our relationship strong?
I think, you know, Brother Minister Donnell said a lot in what he's saying, and that needs to be unpacked. There's a lot that can be done with that. The thing that I think that I find helpful for me, the only other thing I could or would add that I find helpful in my own marriage, is the recognition. The minister said it recently. I think it was in that lecture that I referenced earlier. I'm not quoting it, but he said something to the effect of, you know, did you think marriage would be easy? He posed it in the form of a question. Like, marriage is marriage is not easy. And when we go into it with the expectation, which is often what we do, because this society, the way this society teaches us and orients us to marriage, and marriage really is just about me getting my own selfish desires and needs met. And, you know, I want a child. I want, arm candy. I want this. I want that. We think that's how we go into marriage, thinking about what this person has and how it matches up to my needs and my wants.
That's right.
We don't go into it recognizing that I'm about to enter into a journey that's going to be rough road, right? I'm about to enter into something that's going to be painful at times. I'm about to enter into something that's going to cause me to have to come out of myself, come out of my own selfish desires and wants, and sacrifice things that I want for something that's greater and bigger. And so the only other thing that I would encourage that is that as we go into marriage, that we go into it with a mature sense of mind, mature sensibility, with and not this fairy tale idea of marriage that we tend to go into it. Then right, you can have some longevity, because you're going to hit rough road. And when you hit rough road and you know that you're going to hit rough road, you kind of take it a little differently than when you expect that that road is going to be paved with diamonds and gold.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Excellent.
And if I can just ask you all to talk about, you know, marriage is more than just more than just emotions, more than just, you know, our day to day. Marriage is political. And it's a threat to the established political structure. So it is in the agenda of the established political structure to make sure that the Black family is never has its legs are never steady. It's always on shaky ground. Can we talk a little bit about this political assault on the Black family?
Sure. May I? Well, sure. Oh no, please go ahead, sister. You go first. Go first.
I apologize, and I know I just spoke, but I
no, no, please. Go. You're the guest. Go.
But with that question, he spoke right into a thought that I had yesterday when this conference was happening, and I wrote down somewhere that marriage is an act, is a radical act against our own annihilation. Those are the words that came up for me as I was going through, just thinking about what we were talking about. It is political, right? It is a radical act when we get married. And I'm not talking about just getting married. We talk about healthy marriages, right? You labor for your marriage, not just getting married, right? But in a healthy, stable marriage, you are actually changing and shifting the trajectory of your own legacy, but not just your own legacy, but you're changing and shifting potentially the trajectory of the community within which you are a part of. And so there's a lot of power in that that we don't recognize because we get married just for ourselves. We don't realize that marriage is the cornerstone for community, right? We don't connect those two things. And so we don't understand the whole political influence of what, you know, of getting married, what that what that implies, what that entails. So it's a beautiful question, and I'm really anxious to hear from what Sister Naira and also Brother Donnell have to say to that as well.
Sure. Sister Naira, I'll give you the floor first.
Yes, sir, and thank you. This is a very loaded question, and, you know, understanding we are at war. We are at war for the hearts and minds of our people. And when I look back on historical facts on how the Black family was destroyed through the coming of the transatlantic slave trade, when I look back on how our own people sold us into slavery, there was a whispering of the slinking devil that whispered into the hearts of men from among the gen and the men to take over the minds of the male and the female. But getting here to America, there was a systematic effect when we going back to this Willie Lynch. The Black woman is for economic purposes. And to put her back under the control of the Black man, America suffers. We are no longer Satan's woman when the man goes back up into the mind of God, come under a structure where God is truly the head. This is why the Nation of Islam is a threat. Because the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the Elijah that the world has been waiting for.
That's
to
right.
To turn the hearts of the mothers and the fathers back. Turning the hearts back. That's the repairing of the Black family. And it is the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to do that. So when you talk about the institution of marriage, when the Black woman has been put out front, there's been a true role reversal. Now the economics, and I said it before, but I'm gonna repeat it. The economic system is a threat to it. And so, yes, for political reason, we got to keep this woman under our control because the black man has already been broken. This is why he had to tie the black man to the horses and do what he had to do in the presence of the woman. Because there's so much fear in us. There's so much fear in the black family. So to have us to reverse this, and now we denounce Satan, we denounce his ways, we denounce the black woman being on social media shaking and twerking, that she's literally making the home her base? Oh no, we can't have that. So right. Absolutely, it's a political thing because now we are literally breaking the agreements with hell. And so we need a systematic effect. We need a formula to help not just get people marriage, but to keep marriages intact. And so I love the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gives the keys to a successful marriage. Coming into that agreement, understanding that we both got keys in this relationship.
That's right.
Right? We can unlock the sacredness of this union. That's a threat to America.
That's right.
That's a threat. So with that being said, in addition to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, nothing tops that. I've been able to have a formula that I use in my own marriage. Affinity. Knowing how to share space, not just physical space, but spiritual space, emotional, right? Mental. And of course, physical. This is a formula that I've gotten from the technology. Listen to this. Affinity, reality. Like my sister said, we disconnected. But when we can find points of agreement, now it increases the communication. And guess what that brings about? Understanding. So you have a formula that is going to annihilate what Satan tried to do with us, and that is to keep us out of communication.
Yes.
And so scripture tells us, in all thine getting, get understanding. And so using formulas, you got to find what's best for the family so that we can stay in understanding.
Thank beautiful. You, my sister. Absolutely beautiful. I would only add this. Enough of the history has been stated. It is clear. But when we perform marriages as ministers and pastors, it is usually glossed over, but it's always stated that the institution of marriage was the first institution that God set up for man. So since Satan is aware of what God's plan is for man, specifically black people, then the first thing he destroyed was the institution. There is no perpetuity in individuality. There is no such thing as progress.
Come on.
If we all act as individuals, and the white man has institutionalized this, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Negroes, you do the same. But in reality, he did not pull himself by his own bootstrap. He made it off the backs of the transatlantic slave trade and us.
That's right.
So what we have to focus on again is that putting back together, as my sister so beautifully stated, unless you build institutions, there is no future for us.
That's right.
Because institutions outlive flesh.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So the formula that Sister Naira mentioned, the point that Sister Dr. Monique mentioned, all of that has to be institutionalized to have permanence and perpetuity. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. Have the chair in place, please.
Yes, so, sir.
So we're at the bottom of the hour. I hope you all don't mind if we can just go a little bit longer, right?
Please, please, brother.
Just a little bit longer.
Sure.
Now, a lot of our young people, because you all have mentioned that when we were brought here, we were robbed of our name, our language, our religion, and our culture, right? And a culture is a way that we perceive reality. A culture is the way we conduct ourselves and we relate to each other, right? So now where our relationships are being dictated by external forces through rap music, through programming on the tell a vision, tell I vision, right?
Right.
Our young people, they have a skewed and a very warped understanding of relationship, right? So can you all give the young people who are watching, older people too, right? Can you give us, where can we go? What can we do to begin to, you know, understand our culture and how marriage works in our culture? And I know that you said, a student minister, I know that you did say courtship, but can you give us, if you all can also maybe give us some websites or some materials
there
we can get.
There you go. I would, number one, recommend, of course, NOI.org every week, finalcall.com, and order the digital Final Call. Go to Final Call Radio. And lots of programs, Closing the Gap, People's Podcast, all of these places out here who are rooted in the Nation of Islam. The only thing in the Black community, and this is not to diss anybody else and whatever they're doing, but I am saying unequivocally, and I'm willing to be challenged, there is no other institution that's ever been established in white America that has had the perpetual effect, the everlasting effect of the revelation of God in person to the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, now under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This man set up model institutions for everything that would affect human life. There's not a subject that affects human beings that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did not get revelation from God to guide us, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has rebuilt these institutions and still building. So anytime you get in contact with the NOI.org and other programs like Sister Dr. Monique and Sister Naira, plug into them and they can give you all of their websites. And I would say start to focus on that, young people, and get off the sports channel, get off the TikTok, get off the twerk pieces. Stop looking at junk, because whatever you feed into your mind, you are what you eat physically. You are also all what you eat mentally and spiritually. Get on these websites and I guarantee you there will be a change in your life. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if any of you, right ahead, sister.
I mean, brother student minister, Darnell has said it all. I would also just encourage us as adults to be willing to take responsibility for our youth.
Yes,
we have to be patient with them.
Yes,
and we got to just bring it back home, you know. As a mother of five young adult children, we can never stop teaching and training.
That's right.
We have to be willing to close the gap with them. Allow them to express their struggles and their trials as it relates to everyday life, but in particular relationships. And have the understanding that hey, 10 years ago, life as it looks today, it doesn't look like it did 10 years ago.
That's right.
It doesn't look like it did 25 years ago.
That's right.
So those methods, you know, we got to bring them up to modern time where it doesn't interfere with the way that Allah, God, and the person of Master Farad Muhammad has and is teaching us. But we have to take that teachings and put it where they can understand it. You got to give a baby milk.
That's right. That's right.
Sit down to the table. We got to get back to family dinners. We got to
take the
enemy out of our homes. We got to, you know, put the phone down for a few minutes, right? Turn the TV off. Talk to mom, talk to dad. But more importantly, let's talk to them.
Right. And let's listen to them.
Exactly. And just close that gap, because the enemy is working double time for our children's mind. And the truth of the matter of it is, they shutting us out. They don't want to hear what we have to say.
That's right.
Right.
But when we are inviting that, listen, I want to know what your world looks like. And then we guide them through. And most importantly, be the example. I thank Allah that my daughters desire to have a relationship that they have seen modeled in the home.
Praise be to Allah.
But because of the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our discipline under the structure, it has given them hope in a world that seems so dark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say as it relates to our youth. Let's be patient with them, but let's be the example and thus get into communication with them.
Listen to them. The key is, like you said, listen.
Dr. Swift, and I want to ask one more question, and that's it. We'll be done. I wanted to just get a few points from you, Dr. Swift, of what came out of, you know, the conference that you that was held yesterday.
I recognize, particularly in the panel discussion, but it came out in the breakouts as well. That the topic is marriage. The topic is understanding the value and the role of marriage in the scheme of the larger community. But the conversation so often continued to go back to our injury, right? Mm-hmm. Our, what we have endured, the pain that we've come through, how we were taken away from everything we understood about ourselves. I realized it, you know, in that conversation that, you know, that our healing on that level, our healing from our, what we call in the Association of Black Psychologists, our Ma'afa or the Great Calamity, right? The slavery and all of that. Healing from that is a requisite part of us being able to stand our marriages back up again, right? Mm-hmm. So the destruction of our marriages is coming through how we're being destroyed, how we understand ourselves. We don't have a sense of who we are. We are white people in blackface, if I can say it like that. We have taken on the values, the culture, the ways of our enemy.
Right.
And so we in that, we are a destroyed people. We are not whole. And so we do have to rebuild. That's what Sister Naira emphasized earlier. We have to rebuild ourselves, but we have to rebuild ourselves with the conscious understanding that when we come together in marriage, that we are creating communities and societies. We're not just fulfilling an individual desire.
Yes, ma'am.
So if there was anything, that would be the thing that I think really kind of was highlighted for me.
All right, beautiful. So as we close out, for those who are still in marriage, but are going through rough and rocky times, as we know, we got hills and then we got valleys, right? So for those of us who may be in the valley of our relationship, what are some things that you all could help a family that is going through these rocky times to possibly tighten it up or maybe dissolve it?
Well, see, let me say this, and then, of course, I'll let the my sisters and my panelists come in and help me. You know, when you talk about valleys and hills, all a valley is and a hill is, a valley is a place between two peaks. That's a perception issue. And again, I reemphasize, and the key point that I got from Sister Naira is that, as we talked about the youth, that same principle is applicable to adults. I've sat at the table with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, with people from outside the Nation of Islam, as well as people inside. I've never seen a human being with the patience. And the number one thing that I learned from the minister at these dinners is that he is a man that truly listens. Mm. The person may ramble on for, I don't know, it seemed like to me, hours. And he's not sitting there preparing in his mind a defense or what he's going to say to them. He just listens. And then when it's time to respond, he ain't got to think of an answer. Allah already got it there for him. And he not only rephrases the question that the person asked for a half an hour, however long they rambled, but he even helps them to understand what they were even trying to say. And then answers the question for them. So I'm saying all of that to simply say, there won't be as many hills and valleys if we listen to one another. And even if we are injured by our partner, we have the 8 steps of atonement. So if I listen and I feel injured, if I injure and I need to listen, then I need to listen and be willing to forgive. Otherwise, I will never be able to move on. So what keeps marriages alive in terms of longevity, 50 years, 20 years, 30, whatever the case might be? The key is the point that Sister Naira made earlier. And that is, we have to develop the science of listening while not trying to prepare a defense against what the other person says, even if we don't believe we did what they said. You still owe it to them if you love them. Hear them out. What harm will it do? You ever been in a courtroom before? The prosecution says, I will prove that this man committed that murder right there. You don't jump up, he's lying, he's lying on me. No, you just be quiet. Because you know your defense attorney gonna get his chance to make his opening statement too. Why not bring that principle into your marriage? You're accusing me of something. Okay. If I love you, I have the right to hear what you're trying to say to me. I might just be guilty. But if I'm not listening, I'm trying to prepare a defense, I'm trying to find a way to hurt you back the way I feel you hurt me. Listen. I'm done.
Beautiful. Anyone else want to go next as we close this song out? And we'll give, after this, we'll just give closing statements.
Yes, sir. So thank you, Brother Donnell. That was, once again, right on point. You know, I once heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say in a lecture that if you have an ounce of love, then it can be repaired. So we have to just assess the situation and see if there's an ounce of love in the marriage. And then seek to recreate that marriage. Create while you destroy things that no longer belong or serves the marriage. as a unit. Get back to prayer. If you pray together, a family that prays together stays together. So the first thing is assess your prayer life together. Assess the fasting together, right? And then you have your individual goals in a marriage, but let's look at what is the marriage goals in the marriage and see if we are in alignment with one another. Go back to the affinity point of what is the why? Rekindle the marriage with your why. Why did we get married, right? And based upon that, you can truly see if the marriage is savable. Because sometimes we get married from our lower desire and love was never present. It was lust. And we've outgrown the lust aspect. So let's literally look at it from the point of resolution to see if that marriage is savable. And then I'm going to say this, get healthy counseling. Don't try to do it by yourself. Go,
there you go.
And do it with some people. Look, I believe in, you know, getting with successful married people. Like, your married life is happy, right? And you got a success rate in your marriage. Then I need to sit down with you. Like, I sit with my mother and my father to be able to, you know, get wisdom. Because I don't have all of the answers. Seek wisdom. You know, and take the good and leave the rest alone and apply. You got to read stories on marriage, right? Mm-hmm. You got to edify yourself in the marriage, both the male and the female, and then as a couple. And you got to take time out. Most marriages go into shambles because the couples got too busy for one another.
Right.
One of the things that my husband and I do, and I love it, is we will literally go and just stay in a hotel room so we could just be to ourselves.
There you go.
Sometimes your home is your heaven, but if you work from home, as we work from home, we just need to de-stimulate and just be with one another, date one another, you know? And so those are the things. And then I'm going to just throw this in. We have a book. I'm the visionary author of the Repair of the Black Family Anthology, where there's 33 powerful authors giving their stories, lessons learned, words of encouragement, and repair work. There's one story in this book out of the 33 authors that absolutely has captured my heart when it comes to marriage. And it's called Making Love Last by Malika Muhammad, which is the student regional MGT captain of the Southwest Southwest region. Her story in this book of how her and her husband got to the point where they was considering divorce. I said, good God almighty, I hope I never have to go there. But if I do, I'm going to take this formula and I'm going to apply it to my situation. I would recommend everybody, not just because it's my book, but because it has the answer and a solution that is effective down to a science. And so she's still married to this day. And that is chapter 32, making love last forever. And she gives three action steps on what you can do to save a marriage.
What's the name of the book again?
Repair of the Black Family Anthology.
Okay.
Yes, sir. You can get it off my website and you can get it from Amazon. Amazon Prime, you will have it the next day.
There you go.
All right.
Dr. Monique, and then we'll close it out with just last statements.
Yes, I guess I'll bring it home. You're asking about what we want to say to those who might be in marriage and be struggling. And so there's a scripture in chapter 3 of the Holy Quran. It says, surely in the creation of the heavens and the earth, in the alternation of night and day, there are signs for men of understanding. Mm. Why does that come to mind? That comes to mind because, you know, Allah doesn't speak idle words, right?
Right.
He also tells us that after difficulty comes ease.
Yes.
Right? So what he's sharing with us, what he's showing us, is there are going to be ebbs and flows in our lives. If we're impatient with the moment that we're in now, we'll never get to the next moment. And so, yes, marriage is difficult and it hurts sometimes. It's painful. It can be embarrassing. It can be distressing. It can create all of these really difficult to deal with emotions. But one of the things that I try to help the clients, the people that I work with, and what I would like to share with anyone in the listening audience is that, again, beating this drum, marriage ain't all about you. We've got to recognize marriage is half our faith, right? So Allah is going to use marriage to get things out of us, to bring us to certain places, but he's not only working on one of us. He's working on both sides of that equation. And so he's going to put some things in our lives and make me face certain difficulties so that I can go to him in the midst of it, right? And so we have to create God-centered marriages. We can't create self-centered marriages. When we create self-centered marriages, we've already failed. We've got to put Allah in the center of the marriage. We have to take our ego out of it. And I think it's called the Statement of a Muslim. I found it many years ago, and it's something that gives me so much peace when I'm struggling, whether it be in marriage or other areas of life. And it says, I came from Allah, to him is my eventual return. Therefore, neither trial nor misfortune can disturb the course of my life, which is about a much higher goal than mere comfort. Come what may, the contentment of my mind is never disturbed. We have to find, in these moments when we're struggling in our marriages, we have to find the contentment of our mind, and that will always be tied to Allah. It will always be tied to Allah. So if we can find that space and meditate in that space, we can always come out of that space in line with whatever is supposed to happen. That'll help us to be patient to get to the next thing. Because again, after difficulty comes ease. Ease coming in the morning. So with that,
beautiful. And so we'll go ahead and end with some closing statements. If you would like to tell us about any upcoming events, how to contact you, so forth and so on. And since we have you up, Dr. Monique, you can go right ahead.
Yes, sir. I can. My contact information is on the screen. I'm happy to respond. I always respond to my emails. I respond to my voicemail messages. Please feel free to reach out. Anything else coming up? I'm drawing a blank right now, but there's always a lot of things going on.
Right.
But check out my website and keep in contact if anybody wants to do that. So thank you. Thank you for having this conversation, because it's so very important. I guess you could tell I'm very passionate about family and about marriage. I can't say I'm perfect, but I'm passionate about it. I understand it. And I think if we understand it collectively, it'll really take us to a better place. So thank you.
I'm just glad you're on our side. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
I thank Allah that I'm on this side.
Thank you for coming on in the short notice. I knew from doing programs with you and of course, Sister Naira in the past, the passion that you bring, not just the passion, but the passion mixed with experience and knowledge that can really help our people understand these dynamics. So thank you. Sister Naira, we'll have you come on next.
Absolutely. First and foremost, I want to thank you both for sharing space with me to help further the cause of repairing the Black family. It's truly an honor and a blessing. And I'll quote this scripture as one of my favorites. The race is not to the swift, nor to the strong, but those who can endure to the end.
That's right.
In the word endure is the word suffer. So we have to be willing to suffer for his name's sake so that we can rise to who we are called forth to be. And that is the people of God. And as far as what we have to offer on behalf of the repair of the Black family, we have an awesome retreat coming up. So you can spend your holy day holiday with Sister Naira and Brother David in Sedona, Arizona, 7 days, six nights, transformational life coaching retreat, setting your new intentions for your new year resolution on sacred grounds. That is December 9th through the 15th. We do have a payment plan that is available. To get more information, you can email us at repairoftheblackfamily@gmail.com. You also can text us at 727-623-5555. Text the word Sedona and we can give you the information. On an individual level, as well, we do have a group life coaching program that's happening right now every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. on 7 strategies to activate your superpower. And so with that being said, if you do not have the book, Repair of the Black Family Anthology, tonight is the night to get the book. Go to our website and get the book. And it is a healing bomb. For the repair of the Black family is to repair humanity. I thank you for listening to me. Again, I am Sister Nayira Muhammad, your transformational life coach, speaker, retreat leader, visionary author, and above all, your sister.
All right. Praises due to Allah. Yeah, woo!
And Brother Donnell, would you like to say a few words before we close on out?
Sure. We meet every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This program came as an epiphany. Back when we were under the COVID restrictions and we lost our brother, Minister Hafiz Muhammad, and the minister went into seclusion to gather the why. He asked us across the nation to do conference calls or to do calls to ask the believers how they were doing, their families were doing, and anybody that had COVID or suffering from some kind of illness or health to report that to our national office, as we should report any death of any citizen that's a member of the Nation of Islam. We owe it to the nation. We owe it to that family to report because they are a citizen of the nation of God. And out of that conversation, we had it every Sunday at 2 o'clock where we used to have our meetings at the mosque. Since we were not meeting during that time for almost 2.5 years back then, this conference call grew and it went statewide. And Brother Stephen Muhammad, who is an undiscovered gem. Mm-hmm. This young man has his own production company. He is skilled in the technology of webinars and blogs and programs like this. He is an absolute young man that needs our absolute support of a Black business. Because we've allowed the enemy to record our history for too long.
That's right.
And whenever your enemy tells your story, then you know your story will become a lie. And so we need to support him. So out of that conference call, he made the suggestion, why don't we put it up on the web? And that way, people from all over the state, all over the country can be a part of it. I was asked to write a book on my life story, my walk with the wise man, or my journey with the wise man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, coming out of the 18th surah of the Quran, Moses's walk with the wise man. And an epiphany came to me at that moment that what better title than that than to say, since we know who the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is, than to say, my walk with Jesus as a Muslim, since our Christian family don't even think we believe in him. So that piqued the curiosity. So when people come on, we first got started, what do you mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? Yeah, let me tell you about it. And if you heard Friday night celebration and the testimony of some of the executive council, my God.
Man.
Mm. If you weren't a believer before you saw that conference, my God.
Right.
I think I filled up my savior letter that night again. It just took off. But anyway, that's my story. So that's how this program came about, at the advice, suggestion of this young man. And I will be eternally grateful to him.
Well, thank you, brother.
And I will do all in my power to support him in this effort. He's an independent young black man trying to help our community. So what better way? Since all the young people are on their cell phones anyway. And even at the dinner table, we talking to each other and they texting each other. Come on, somebody. Right. Talk to me.
That's right. I'll go ahead and say my few words here. Let me
please.
Of course I didn't put a name. I'll never do a name tag for myself, but I just wanted to say, first of all, Student Minister Donnell, thank you. And I'm gonna go find that brother Steve Muhammad. I think he's here somewhere. But thank you, brother. I want to thank, of course, our guests for coming on. I want to let everyone know that next week, we're going to have a sister who's going to come on and talk about disaster preparedness, Sister Tequila. I believe I'm pronouncing her name right. And she's going to come on next week and talk about her new book and disaster preparedness, because we all need to begin to make our homes a sanctuary and not a cemetery. You know, so I want to thank you all for coming on. And I guess we'll go ahead, and if it's all right with you all, with you all's permission, we'll go ahead and just close on out. Is that fine with everyone?
That is fine, sir.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So with that, may God continue to bless all of you who are in the listening and viewing audience with the light of truth and understanding. Come back every week. Same channel, same time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you're able to come on live if you want to. We'll send out the link, or you can write your questions in the chat. And with that, we'll go ahead and close out with Assalamu Alaikum. And we have just a few commercials. Please watch these commercials and Assalamu Alaikum.
Greetings to you, sisters and brothers. This is Steve Muhammad coming to you from Refuge Depot. As we all know, the weather is extreme. We need to prepare our homes to become a sanctuary and not a cemetery. Please go to refugedepot.com or click in the description below to find all your disaster preparedness items and survival techniques. That's refugedepot.com. Or click in the description below. If you have any questions, please call 937-985-0779 or email refugedepot@gmail.com.
Greetings, dear listeners. We have been blessed by Almighty God Allah over the 90 years of our work in the Nation of Islam and lifting our people up from the miserable condition in which we find ourselves. We ask your support of our effort, and we hope that you will be generous and make a contribution to the work of the Nation of Islam and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan by clicking the button below or go to noi.org/donate. We thank you in advance for your support. May Allah God continue to bless you and your families. Assalamu alaikum.
Now you can get the same uncompromising truth you've come to expect from the Final Call newspaper on all your connected devices. Subscribe to the Final Call Digital Edition today. Go to subscribe.finalcalldigital.com.
Alaikum.
Laika salam.
Hold on one second. All right.